Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Tzadi Beis. And we are beginning by the Mishnah, about a third of the way down already. And this continues in our discussions of various things that if a person carries out on Shabbos, he's going to be chayv achatas. Before we start, we're learning today Lila Nishmas, Margaret Stern, Miriam Bas Yisroel, Alan Stern's mother, whose yard site was yesterday, Sunday, May 31st. And we're also learning today Lila Nishmas, Morris Applebaum, Yaakov Moshe ben Harav Menachem Tzvi, whose yard site is today. All the neshamas we learn for should have an aliyah. So we begin with the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Hamotzi, if somebody takes out, again, going from Rishus, Hayochid, let's say, to Rishus Harabim, or vice versa, or the same halachas would apply if one went from Dalet Amos within a Rishus Harabim, but we always go here with the understanding of going, let's say, from Rishus Hayochid into Rishus Harabim. That's why it says Hamotzi, if one takes it out. Bein b'yamino, bein b'smolo, if a person takes it out, whether he's carrying it in his right hand or he's carrying it in his left hand. We'll see from Rashi in a moment that this is the normal way to carry, and therefore, if a person did this intentionally with Hasra, he would be chayav Misa, and of course, unintentionally, if he forgot it's Shabbos, he would be chayav a Korban Chatas. Likewise, Besoch Cheko, if he carries it in his lap or in his bosom, or Aksefo, if he carries it on his shoulders, in all of these situations, he would be chayav Chatas. This is considered the normal way of carrying. Rashi brings down over here that we learn out carrying on the shoulders from this week's Parsha, Bakesef Yiso, that the B'nai Kohas carried various parts of the Mishkan on their shoulders. The Yomin, Usmol, the Cheik, Orech Ara, and carrying something in your right hand, your left hand, in your bosom, are the normal ways, Orech Ara. And we learn from B'nai Kohas, they carry on the shoulders also the normal way. That's the first pshat in Rashi. Then he brings down from the Rebbeinu Yitzchak Bar Yehuda, he says another pshat from the name of Rahai Gon, that it says in the Gemara in Yerushalmi, Ufkudas Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen. So it tells us that Aaron HaKohen's son, Elazar, had to go carry the Shemen HaMa'or, or the Ketoras HaSamim, and the Minchas HaTomid, the Shemen HaMishcha. How did he carry them? So he would carry Shemen Echod B'Yomin, one of the Shemens he carried in his right hand, the Shemen Echod B'Smol, the other Shemen he carried in his left hand, V'Ketoras B'Cheiko, he carried the Ketoras in his lap, in his bosom, and the Chavitin he carried on his shoulder B'Kosif. So that's where we learned out. Those are the four normal types of carrying that a person has. Then the Mishnah tells us, however, Kila Achar Yodo. Now, there are two different gears over here. The gears that we have is Kila Achar Yodo. It means that he carried it out in a backhanded type of a way, meaning an unusual way, an abnormal way, but Lahav Dafka, not literally on the back of his hand. That would be the gears of was Kila Achar Yod. It's like he carried it out in a backhanded way, and then the Mishnah gives us examples of a backhanded way. Others have the girsa. Tosus brings us down over here, and the Gemara will have this girsa. La'achar yad, though it literally means on the back of your hand, which is an example of kalachar yad in an abnormal way. Either way, it means the same thing, essentially. If you carry it out in an abnormal way, then it's not going to be an issa deraisa. So if you carry it out in an abnormal way, or literally on the back of your hand, or biraglo, if you carry something with your foot, or you carry something befiv in your mouth, we're talking here obviously not about food, Tosos Dibra Maskal Motzi Befib tells us, in Moisa Shabbos Otsiyah Befib, you'd be chayiv if it was food. Hanimili Ochlin Shadarkan Otsiyah Befib, something that you normally would eat, you put in your mouth, so then that, if you're eating it, that's called Shas Achila, and that would in fact be a real Issa Deraisa. But here, you put your item that you're carrying in your mouth, you're carrying out a book, and you have it in your mouth, you carry it out in your mouth, so that's not called an Issa Deraisa of carrying. Ubimarfuko, what does that mean? So we have a famous machlok between Rashi and Tosus throughout Shas. The Rashi says, Marpiko means underneath your axilla, your armpit, and Tosus says it means your elbows. And Tosus has a whole discussion why he disagrees with Rashi, I ain't in the Tosus, but Marpiko. In any event, if you carry something underneath your arm, next to your elbow, so that is not considered a normal way. Bosno, if you carry something in your ear, Ubisaro, if you have it intertwined in your hair, Ubipundoso, if a person has but pundoso is known like a belt of some sort, a money belt that they would put stuff inside. We would have it like as a fanny pack, something similar to that. Upilamata, with the opening to this fanny pack or this belt, this money belt that opens to the bottom. Now that's an abnormal way. If the fanny pack is in the right side up, so that's the normal way. But if you have the opening the right side down, so then the stuff will fall out of it, that's called an unusual way. In all of these situations, or bein pundaso lechaluka, or between this money belt and your garment. In other words, you tuck it in into this belt, but it's not attached to this belt. This is not a normal way to carry it out. Or ubisfas chaluka, or if you carry it out in the hem of your cloak. A person has like a hem at the bottom of their garment, and you put stuff inside of that. That's not a normal way to go and carry stuff. Or biminalo, if you put it in your minol, your shoe, or bisandalo, in your sandal. All of these are considered abnormal ways of carrying, and therefore you're not going to be over Nisa Daraisa, and that's why it's Pater, Pater Avalasi. You're not allowed to carry this with me, the Rabbanon, but you're not going to be over Nisa Daraisa, you won't bring a Karma Chatas. Why? Shalahotzi, Kedera Chamotzi, because that's the normal way. You can only be over a Chatas if you're carrying something out in the normal way. Mara tells us, I'm Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, Hamotzi Masui Lemala Measor Tvachim Chayev. The person carries something above 10 Tvachim is Chayev. Now, we already learned previously that a Rishus HaRabim ends at 10 Tvachim. Above 10 Tvachim, it's technically not the Rishus HaRabim. So you might have thought in this situation that you're carrying the item through a Mokum Petur, and even though you did the Akira below 10 Tvachim, and you did the Hanacha below 10 Tvachim, you might have thought that carrying it through this area above 10 Tvachim makes it that you carried it through a Mokum Matur, and you wouldn't be Chayiv, it would be separating the Akira and the Hanacha. So Kamash Malon, Rabbi Elazar tells us that no, we see from the Bnei Kahas that they would carry things above 10 Tvachim, and this was considered a normal way of carrying it. As the Gemara says, Shekein Masa Bnei Kahas, this was the normal way for the Bnei Kahas to carry above 10 Tvachim. Now how do we know that? Where do we see that the Bnei Kahas carry their utensils from the Mishkan more than 10 tefachim above the ground? So the Gemara says Dichsib, because the pasuk says from last week's parasha, parashas Bamidbar, where it says Al Mishkan v'Al Mizbeach Soviv. This pasuk is referring to the Urios around the Mishkan, and they surrounded. There were Soviv to the actual Mishkan and the Mizbeach. So therefore, Mekish Mizbeach LeMishkan. It tells us that they had the same property to them, the Mizbeach as well as the Mishkan. What is that? Ma Mishkan Eser Amos. Just like the Mishkan, we know, was 10 Amos tall, so too, Af Mizbeach Eser Amos. So too, we know the Mizbeach was 10 Amos tall. So the Gemara says, how do we know that? U'Mishkan Gufei Minolden. How do we know the Mishkan was 10 Amos tall? So Pasuk says, Dirsiv, Eser Amos Orech HaKoresh. Each one of the boards was 10 Amos tall. That's how we know it. Now, Uksiv. Furthermore, the Psukim tell us, Vayifros Esa'ol Hal Mishkan. He put the covering of the Mishkan and of the Ol Moed, those were different layers, if you wish, of the Mishkan, on top of the Mishkan and the Ol Moed. What does that mean? Vomar Rav. Rav tells us, Moshe Rabbeinu Paras. So Moshe Rabbeinu himself stood and put the covers on top of the Ol Moed and the Mishkan. So we see, Mikana Tolome, Govin Shalavim, Etzramos. We see that Moshe Rabbeinu, as a representative of the Levim, they were all very tall. And Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't unique, according to this pshat. He was like all the other Levim. They were all 10 amos tall. That means they were very, very tall. An amma is at least a foot and a half, maybe 2 feet to 1 amma. So Moshe Rabbeinu was between 15 and 20 feet tall. There are midrashim that support this as well. When he battled Og Melech HaBashan, it says he was 10 amos tall. He had a stick that was 10 amos tall. He jumped 10 amos tall, and he reached the bottom of Og Melech HaBashan's ankle. In any event, these are things that we can't easily understand. That's not the way we understand people, biology. So whatever it exactly means, Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 amma tall, between 15 and 20 feet tall, and that's why he was able to stand next to the Mishkan, which was 10 amma tall, and place the covering of the Mishkan right on top of it. Now, when they carried the Mishkan, Ugmire dechol tuno de midle bimotos tilso mil'el utre tilse mil'tachas. Now, whenever you're carrying something, now, they carried the Mizbeach. We know the Mishkan was 10 amma tall. The Mizbeach, we said, was 10 amma tall, too. The Mizbeach had rings attached to it that they could go carry it. And they would put these poles, these motos, through those rings, and they would carry it. So the Gemara is telling us we have an understanding. Gemiri, this is the way it was. That whenever you're carrying something through these poles, you couldn't just carry it at waist level. You carried it on shoulder level. You put the poles on your shoulder. And the way it was carried was there would be one-third of the item would be above your shoulders, and two-thirds below your shoulders. So you had the pole on your shoulders, so the people that were carrying it had the pole on their shoulders, and the bulk of it was, two-thirds of it was below their shoulder, and one-third of it was above their shoulder. Now, if the entire Mizbeach is going to be 10 amma tall, so if one-third is above it, that's 3 1/3 amma, and below it is going to be 6 2/3 amma. So if the Levium, their shoulders, was 10 amos above the ground, so that means that the Mizbeach went down from their shoulder, which is 10 amma above the ground, down 6 2/3 amma. That meant that there was 3 1/3 amma from the bottom of the Mizbeach to the ground. Now, an amma has 6 tefachim, so 3 1/3 amma is going to be 3 × 6 = 18 tefachim, and a third of 6 is going to be 2 tefachim, so a total of 20 tefachim. So there was 20 tefachim height from the bottom of the Mizbeach to the ground. Ishtakach, therefore, it appears, da'avi midle tuva. So therefore, they were obviously carrying the entire Mizbeach more than 10 tefachim above the ground. This is the long, convoluted proof over here that even though the Bnei Katz carried the Mizbeach more than 10 Tvachim of the ground, that was considered carrying. And that's why if a person carries something above 10 Tvachim, like the Mizbeach was all above 10 Tvachim, it's considered carrying, and therefore if somebody carries above 10 Tvachim, he's chayav chatas. That's teretz number one. If you buy you say more, if you didn't like this teretz, the Gemara will explain why they didn't like the teretz, because who says every Levi was 10 amah tall? Maybe Moshe was unique. Moshe was 10 amah tall, but who says every Levi was 10 amah tall? So maybe the Levim that carried the Mizbeach were not 10 amah tall. So therefore, v'ibay yisei ma me'oron. Otherwise, we can learn out that if you carry something more than 10 tefachim above the ground, it's considered significant from the way they carried the Aron. Again, the Aron was like the Mizbeach. It had rings attached to it. They put these poles through these rings, and they would go carry it. So the Aron, we know, the Amamar, the Aron was much smaller than the Mizbeach. Aron Tisha, the Aron itself was only Tisha Tvachim. It's masculine, so it's talking about Tvachim. So it was 9 Tvachim, and then the Chapores, which was the top covering that they put on top of the Aron, that was a Tefach. So in total, from the bottom of the Aron to the very top of the Aron, the Kapores, above the Kapores, was a total of 10 Tvachim. Hare Kanasara, so you have 10 Tvachim. Now, we have the same Kabbalah that we had previously. Ugmire, we know, the Chol Tuna, the Midle Bimotos, anything that you're carrying with poles. You don't carry it all at the same level. You put the poles on your shoulder, so a third of it is going to be above your shoulder, and two-thirds are going to be below the shoulder. It doesn't make a difference whether it's Mizbeach or whether it's talking about the Aron. The same principle applies. That's how you carry stuff with a pole. So therefore, Gemire, the Chol Tuna, the Midle Bimotos, anything you're carrying with poles, Tilsa Mil'el, one-third of it's going to be above your shoulder, Utre Tilse Mil'ra, and two-thirds are going to be below your shoulders. Now, this entire Aron was 10 Tvachim. So 3 1/3 Tvachim are above your shoulder, and 6 2/3 Tvachim are below your shoulders. Now, here Rashi tells us that the typical Levi, his height was 3 Amos. Tosus points out that doesn't include the head. So up to the shoulders is going to be 3 Amos. Again, Amma over here is 6 Tvachim. So a person is 18 Tvachim tall. The average person until his shoulders is 18 Tvachim tall. So now we said that the shoulder is an 18 tefachim, and you have 6 2/3 tefach below your shoulder, which is the bottom 2/3 of the aron. If you subtract 6 2/3 tefachim from 18 tefachim, you get 11 1/3 tefach. 11 1/3 tefach is totally the entire aron is above that. So you see that you're carrying above 10 tefachim, yet it's called carrying. So this second proof over here is also showing you that carrying above 10 tefachim is considered significant carrying based upon the way they carry the Aron. Where it says, why didn't the second teretz like the first teretz? V'ligmar mi-Moshe. What was wrong with learning out from Moshe that we had to have the Bo Yisem over here to learn it out from the Aron? So Gemara gave the answer that I said before, Dilma Moshe Shaini, because who said all the Levim were 10 Amos tall? Moshe Rabbeinu was unique. Moshe Rabbeinu was different than all the other Levim. The Amamar, Ein Ashkir Shoreh El HaChochem Gibor V'Yoshu Balkoma, because we have rules that, for example, the Kohen Gadol has to be greater than all the other Kohanim. And if he's not, you have to make him greater in terms of money, etc., and things like that. So too, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu, because the Shechina was resting on Moshe Rabbeinu all the time. So Moshe Rabbeinu was smarter than everybody else. Moshe Rabbeinu was Gibor, was stronger than everybody else. Moshe Rabbeinu was Asher from everybody else, and also Ubal Koma, and he was taller than everybody else. So maybe all the other Levim were a regular 3 Amah tall, including their head, 4 Amah tall, about 6 feet. That's a normal height for a person. And Moshe Rabbeinu was unique. He was 10 Amah tall. Fine. That's why the second teretz didn't like the first teretz, because who said the first teretz would be all the Levim? Gemara continues and says, "Amar Rav Mishum Melchia." Rav says, "Mishum Melchia, Hamotzi Masoi B'Shabbos Al Rosho." If somebody carries something on his head, not holding on to it, but you see pictures of people carrying jugs on their head and balancing them. So this is such a thing. Amotzi Masoi B'Shabbos Al Rosho Chayv Chatas. That's the normal way for people to carry these jugs. Shekein Anshe Hutzal. And in fact, the people in Hutzal, name of a place, so they would always carry it like this way. As Rashi says, Anshi Hutzal, Hoyonosin Kadi Mayim V'yayin Aroshein. The people in Hutzal would carry these water jugs or these wine jugs on their head. They wouldn't hold it with their hands. They would balance it perfectly. And that's why that's called the normal way of carrying it. Where it says, really? The people in Hutzal determine what's carrying for the entire world? The Anshi Hutzal Ruba the Alma? The people of Hutzal make up the majority of the world, so their determination of what's considered carrying should be an important way of carrying for the entire world? Where it says, you're right, Taka, that can't be right. Eli Itmar Hochimar. If we said Rav said something in the name of Rav Chia about this carrying on your head. This is what he said. Elohach iyit mar hochi yitman. This is what he said. Amar Rav Mishum Rav Chia. Rav said the name of his uncle, Rav Chia. Echad mibnei Hutzal shotzi masoya rosha b'shabas. If a person from Hutzal, from this place over here, he carried something on his head, and that was the normal way that they carried it, chayiv, that person would be chayiv for carrying on Shabbos, because shekei b'nei ira osekei, because that's the way they carried stuff in Hutzal, and therefore that's considered significant carrying. We're still not happy. But see, botel daito el tzucholodam. 99.9% of the world doesn't carry stuff on their head. No, the people in Hutzal, they did. But the people in Hutzal should be dependent upon the rest of the world's definition of carrying. They can't make up their own. Tibotel daito el tzucholodam. Their das, oh, this is carrying, should be botel, should be nullified by the fact that nobody else considered it carrying. So the tak is a very good argument. So where it revises itself one more time. Eliyitmar, Hochiyitmar. In fact, if Rav said something in Rav Chia, this is what he said. We turn to the Omid Beis. Vim Tim Silomer, Anshi Hutzel, Osin Kain. If you want to tell me that the Anshi Hutzel carry stuff, jugs on their head like this, and therefore it should be carrying. So Rav said in the name of Rav Chia, Bot La Dait and Etzel Kolodom. That's not a good enough answer. The fact that they do it doesn't mean it's normal. If some crazy guy does something, that doesn't determine that that's the normal way something is done. In fact, the normal way is to carry, like we said, your right hand, your left hand, in your bosom, in your lap, or on your shoulders. But carrying on your head, that's not a normal way of carrying. And even though in Hutzal they did it, Hutzal is Beitla, Batla Daitan, Eitzel Kol Adam, and that's not considered a significant way of carrying. Now we go to the next Mishnah. And Miskavi Lohotzi Lefonov. Now here we're talking about the orientation. A person's carrying something in front of him or in back of him. And we'll understand this as we go through the Gemara. Hamiskavin lahotzi lefonav. If a person is intending to carry something in front of him, and ubalu liachoruv, somehow it turned around and went to behind him. So let's say he's carrying a knapsack, and he was planning on carrying it in front of him, and somehow it turned around and it ended up being carried behind him. So potter. The Mishnah says in that situation he's potter. The Gemara will explain why. Rashi points out over here lo niskaima machshavto. He didn't do what he intended to do. He intended to carry it in front of him. Instead, it somehow turned around. It slipped around. It was carried behind him. And that's called misasik, and not that he intended to do so, and it wouldn't be an issa deraisa. He'd be potter. He wouldn't be chayav achatos. If he intended to carry it, however, behind him, and it slipped around some way, and balu lefonav, and now somehow it's in front of him, in this situation, chayev. In fact, he would be chayev over here. And the Gemara is going to explain why this is so. We'll have two different ways of looking at it. We'll wait till we get to the Gemara. Gemara continues and says, B'emes amru. The Gemara is going to tell us over here, kol b'emes halachi. It means that this is the halacha. Some say it means halacha l'mosh misinai. Others say, no, this is just the halacha. B'emes amru means this is the halacha. In any event, we say, Ha'isha ha'chogeres b'sinor. If a woman is wearing a sinor, Rashi tells us a sinor is ke'en michnesayim, some sort of pants, ketanim, like maybe underwear or a slip. V'chogeres oso litznias. She wears this for tznias. The im tolso bo shum dover, and she attaches something to this slip or these underwear, lahotzi, to carry it outside. Ubalo litzat acher. And it turns around. She had it in the front, and it went to the back, or in the back, and carries it, and it turns to the front. So the slip is like interchangeable from where the object is attached to it. Chayevis. This is going to make a person chayev for carrying out. So isha chageres besinor. Beimila for now, beimila achra. It doesn't make a difference if it starts in the front, went to the back, went from the back to the front. Chayevis. This is considered a normal way for a woman to carry things attached to her sinor. Shekain royal yos choser, because it constantly turns around. Again, imagine it's something like a slip, and the slip doesn't have a front or back, it just wherever it goes, so it could be turned around. If she had something attached to it and it was in the front, easily it could go turn around to be the back, and vice versa. So that's what the Tanakhama says. This woman with the sinar is going to be chayevis if she attaches something to the sinar, no matter whether it's in the front or in the back. However, Rav Yehuda Omer, af mekable pitokin. Now, the simple way to understand this is Rav Yehuda is disagreeing with the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama says over here, this only applies to a sinar, but it wouldn't apply to a letter carrier, a mailman over here, makable pitokin. These letter carriers, they also had some sort of a belt-like structure, and they would attach the letters to it, and here it would also get turned around. There'd be some sort of like the slip by the woman, but it's for a mail carrier. And therefore, if it was in the front, and then it turned to the back, the Tanakhama would say, you're not chayev, it's not like the sinar. But Rav Yehuda says, af mekable pitokin, the same thing applies, that whenever they're carrying something, whether it's in the front or the back, and it's attached in this way, that's normal for them to carry it, and therefore you'd be chayev. That's the simple pshat over here that's brought down by Tosfos, and It says in the name of the Rabbeinu Shmuel, Sheesh Adam Mamuna Lamelech. This was a person who was appointed by the king. Shinosei Pitokin Shemelech. He was the official postal service guy for the king, and they would go and do this. Leida Minyan Givurov Chayalov Ubayis Otsrosov. And they did this to carry out and to know how much he had in terms of army, in terms of stuff in his storehouse. Venosin osan bikisein, they would carry it in some sort of a purse, hatluyim bezarein, that was attached to their belt, and osan kisin chozim pam lefdeim upam lechrein. And it would turn around, sometimes be in the front, sometimes be in the back, and this is exactly, havi mamish dumya de sinar. Rav Yehuda says, this is no different than the sinar, just like the sinar yechayev, so too, Rav Yehuda says, yechayev this mail carrier's belt. There's a Tanakama disagrees. That's the simple pshat over here. Tanakama de Yehuda, lo choshev lechozer, he doesn't agree with this. Rashi has a second pshat that it's talking about that a different mail carrier was given the item than the one that was originally intended to get it. So you might have thought, Tanakama says, the right person didn't get it, you're not chayev. And along comes Rav Yehuda says, no, it doesn't make a difference. Nobody's really makbid that it should go to a specific mail carrier. That's what it means, ap makabli pitokin. As Rashi says over here, even though it went to a different person, afilo lo niskaima machshavton, kigon hotzion amanas lesitein lirotz zeh. He intended to give it to this carrier, this guy that's running, venos lezeh, and gave it instead to a different carrier. That's the pshat that it's talking about. The Tanakama apparently would disagree with that. And Yehuda says, Yechayev. And Rashi says, Kach loshin rabosai v'libi megamkin. He says, I don't really like this pshat. Mustami likes Tosas' pshat better, although Rashi doesn't even mention it. The Gemara starts off and says, Maishno lufonov ubalu liachrov the potter. Why in the first case of the Mishnah, in the ratio of the Mishnah, we said, if you intended to carry it in front of you, but instead it turned around and went behind you, so then you're potter. But the other way around, if it started off behind you and then went in front of you, you're going to be chayev. So that's the Gemara's question. Mustn't it be the lowest avid machshavta, because it didn't end up doing what you wanted. You wanted it in the front and it went to the back. Same thing then. Liachorov. So then, if it started off the back and it went to the front, it also, hello is abid machshavto. It didn't do what you wanted it to be done. And therefore, why in one case are you potter, in one case are you chayev? So Rav Elazar gives a simple teretz. Amar Rav Elazar, Tavra, obviously, two different people said it. The one who said the first line of the Reisha didn't say the second line of the Reisha, the Seifa of the Reisha. There are two different opinions over here. Misha Shana Zu, the one who said you're potter, can't be the same Tana who says that you're chayev. So they're two different. The Reisha is really made up of Tana number one and Tana number two. Totally different things. Tavra. Tavra means smashed. It's broken. The tuf and the shin are interchangeable. Shavra. It's broken. Whoever said the first part of the Mishnah can't be the author of the second part of the Mishnah. The Reisha and Seifa of the Reisha are not authored by the same person. That's teretz number one. Amar Rava. Rava says, no, that's not necessarily so. Umay Kusha, what was your problem that you said they can't be the same Tana from the 1A and 1B. The one who said Potter and the one who said Chayev, they're two different scenarios. Why couldn't it be the same Tana? Well, my question, what was bothering you? Duma, when we said Lufanov, the guy was carrying it in front of him and it turned around, Ubalo Liachorov, you know why? Hainu time of the Potter, you know why you're Potter in that situation? Because Niskavi and Lishmirula, when it's in front of you, you can watch it very, very well. So his intention was to carry that in a way that it's watched very, very well. But then it turned around, the also be Yadushmir Bhusa. It ended up being behind him. Now you can't watch it very well behind you, somebody could easily take it without you even realizing it. And that's why you're potter, because you didn't do what you intended to do. That's why it's not an Issa Deraisa. But if it was Liachorov, Ubala Lafanov, if it was originally behind you, now it's in front of you, you know why you're chayev? Hainu time of the chayev. Then it's Kabil and Shmira Bhusa, because you wanted to do a Shmira Bhusa, and instead the also be Yadushmir Mu'ula. You did a better watching. So your intention was to do a minimal watching, and instead you did a better watching. That's fantastic. You had what you wanted accomplished. You had at least a minimal watching. In fact, you had a better watching, and that's why you're chayev. So who says there's any stira? Who says there's a tavra between the reisha of the reisha and the seif of the reisha? They both could be the same author, and the reasoning is that as long as you did the shmira that you intended, or better, you're chayev. But if you did the shmira that you intended, not as good, you did it worse, then you're potter. So Rava has no problem. So then Rava says, Ella my kosher, if there is a problem that Rav Elazar said about the Mishnah, because Rav Elazar said in our Mishnah, Tavra, Misha Shana Zu, Lo Shana Zu. So what was Rav Elazar's problem? He said, the Yuko de Masnis and Kasha. It wasn't this. We could explain the difference over here between the Reisha of the Reisha and the Seif of the Reisha. But Rav Elazar had a problem with it. The Tavra that he said, that was talking about the Diuk that we have over here. What was that? The first part says that Miskabi knows he'll find a bottle of Yachar Potter if he intended to bring it out in the front and it turned to the back, he's Potter. That implies, here's the implication, Holy Yachar, Vubolo Yachar, Chayev. If you intended it from the start to be behind you, and it was behind you, then you would be Chayev. It's only if it was in front of you and went behind you that you're Potter. Implication being, the Diyuk is, Yachar, Vubolo Yachar, you'd be Chayev. Okay, that's the ratio of the ratio. Ema Sefer. Now look at the Sefer of the ratio. If you started Leachorov, Vubolo Lefanov, who the Chayev? In that situation, you'd be Chayev. Implication being, if you started Holy Achorav, Ubalo Liachorav Potter. Now, that's exactly the opposite of the Diuk of the Reisha. The Diuk of the Reisha is behind you, and it stayed behind you, you're Chayev. The Diuk of the Seif is, it was behind you, and then it went in front of you, you're Chayev, implying that if it was behind you, and it stayed behind you, you'd be Potter. So Amar Rebbe Elazar, on this Diuk, Rebbe Elazar says, Tavra, we have to smash it, Shavra, we have to break it apart. Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu. The author of the Reisha, cannot be the same author as the Sefer of the Reisha. That's what Rabbi says is the understanding of Rabbi Elazar. But along comes Ravashi. Ravashi says, no. My Kushi says, I don't understand what the problem was there either. Dilma lo mi boya komar. This is a type of phraseology that's saying, lo mi boya komar. You didn't even have to tell me this. What is that? Lo mi boya, you didn't have to tell me, liachorov, ubolo liachorov, dechayev. Of course, if somebody intended to carry it behind him, and he did carry it behind him, he'd be chayev. You don't have to tell me that. Lo mi boya komar. Because this avido machashavto. Because you did exactly what you said you would do. So of course you're chayev. The chiddush is, elafilu achorov, even if you carried it behind you originally, and then ubolo lefonim, but it turned around, and you ended up carrying it in front of you, that's a chiddush. I needed you to tell me that you're chayev. It's trichole. Why? Why do you have to tell me that? Because so kadayt chaminich, I might have thought on my own. Bottom line is, ho, avalo is abid machshato. Well, it's better, you didn't do what I wanted. So therefore, if it wasn't what I wanted, maybe I'm potter, even though it's better. So therefore, lo l'chayev, in that situation, you shouldn't be chayev, because albeit it's better, it's not what I wanted. So the chiddush is, kamash v'lon. No, you are chayev, because your intention behind you was the niskabi l'shmir b'chusa. And in fact, the also biyado shmira mu'ula, and it ended up being a better shmira, that is the chayev. And that's what Ravashi would explain the diukim are. Fine. Now the Gemara says, let us say, we add the words lema over here. It says on the side, lema liachorov ubalo liachorov tanoihi. Let us say that this is a machlokis tanoim. We just brought down that everybody seems to say, if it was behind you intentionally, and then that's where it ended up, that you'd be chayev. The Gemara now says, maybe this is actually a machlokis tanoim. Where do we see that? The Tanya, because the Brisa says, hamotzi mos bepundoso upilamala. The person carries out money in his money belt, and the money belt is oriented, his fanny pack is oriented upwards. In other words, the money is not going to fall out. It's oriented in the proper way, chayev, because that's a normal way of carrying. However, pilamata, if the fanny belt, if your money belt is turned, your fanny pack is turned upside down, so its mouth is facing downwards, so anything inside of it could easily fall out, Rav Yehuda mechayev. Rav Yehuda says that's still called carrying. However, the chachamim poetry, the chachamim say in this situation, that's not a normal way of carrying, and therefore would be potter of a loser. Now, what exactly is the machlokas of here between Rav Yehuda and the chachamim? So, Gemara says, Amar len Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda tells the chachamim, don't you agree with me? Iatem modim, b'le'achorav, ubalu le'achorav, if a person carries something behind him, which is not a good shmira, and that's where it stayed, ubalu le'achorav shu chayav, that a person is chayav, even though it's not a good shmira, that's what he intended to do. So to over here, this person was carrying his money belt upside down. So who cares that it's not a good shmira? That's what he wanted to do. So admit to me, Rabbi Yehuda says to the Chachamim, that he would be chayav in that situation. But the Chachamim say, B'yamrlo, no. Don't you agree with us, V'yatamode, that kila acha yodo v'raglo shehu patur? You agree if somebody carries something in a backhanded way, this kilachar yad, either literally in a backhanded way, on the back of his hand, or as an example of a backhanded way, he carries it with his foot. Don't you agree, your potter? Now, that's what the Chachamim said to Rav Yehuda. Amar Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says, Ani amarti dover echad, dehein amru dover echad. We each ask each other a question, and from each of us asking the other one the question, we have a problem. Ani lo motzasi tshuva l'divrihem. I wasn't able to find an answer to what they said. They, so to say, schlugged me up. And likewise, and they didn't find a tshuva to what I said to them. We each slugged each other up. So exactly how are we going to see from here that this is lema ketanoi, that if you carried something liachorov, afilu liachorov, ubalu liachorov, that this is a machlokis over here, one says Potter, one says Chayim. So the Gemara says, Midikar Maluhu, because the Gemara says, when Rabbi Yehuda said to the Chachamim, Iatem Odim, don't you agree with me that in the situation where the object was behind him, Liachorov, and it stayed Liachorov, that you're Chayav, that implies Lav Mikhail de Potter Abonim, that the Chachamim, in fact, say that it's Potter, because they didn't agree with him. So here you see, here's the sheet that it says, if it's Liachorov, and it stays Liachorov, that you're Potter. This is the sheet of the Chachamim. Ah, so Lema Kitanoi. Let us say that this over here is a Machlokis Tanoim, that Rabbi Yehuda says that in this situation you are Chayav, and the Chachamim say, in this situation you are Potter. Where it says, well, keep on reading, that doesn't make sense. Ul Taimech, if this is your reasoning, so then we got a problem. Because when the Chacham said to Rabbi Yehuda, the Karmi Lay, when the Chacham said to Rabbi Yehuda, Iatamode, don't you agree with us regarding carrying something Kalach Haryad, we say that you're Potter, don't you agree with us? Well, that implies that he doesn't agree with them. Because they're saying, don't you agree with us? And he says, no, I don't. So that means, Miklal, the Mechayev Rabbi Yehuda, that for carrying something Kalach Haryad, Rabbi Yehuda is Mechayev. But nobody holds like that. Well, Tanya, Gemara says in another brisa, everybody agrees. Nobody says Yechayev Doraisa for carrying something Kalachar Yad, for carrying something in an abnormal way. Everybody, including Rabbi Yehuda, agrees that you're not Chayev. So wait a second, now we got a problem. Elo, based upon what we just said, Elo Liachorov, Ubalu Liachorov, Diriako Chayev. In fact, everybody agrees that if you intended to carry something behind you, and you did carry it behind you, that you're Chayev. Not that the Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim also agree you're Chayev in that situation. Everybody agrees to that. And likewise, everybody agrees about Kalachayat. Liachayod over Raglo, Diriako Potter. Nobody says if you carry something in an abnormal fashion, you're Chayev in the Raisa. Everybody agrees that's Potter of Losser. That's not allowed to be carried, Midirabanan. So there's no machlokis on Liachorov, Ubalu Liachorov, and Kalachayat. Achorov, Bala, Achorov, everybody agrees you're Chayev, and Klachayat, everybody agrees that you're Potter. So where in the world are you doing the Chacham arguing? So Gemara says, keep pleading, where they're having the machlokes, bepundoso upio lamato. Exactly, okay, so the fanny pack, this money belt, is upside down. The opening to this fanny pack is facing the wrong way, it's facing down, and anything inside of it could easily fall out. Now, Mar midami le liachorov, Bala, Achorov. Yehuda says, just like behind you isn't the good Shmira, yet you're happy with it, and you're chayav, so too, this money belt, this fanny pack, even though it's not a good shmira, it's facing the wrong way, it's facing down instead of facing up, so the mouth is down, things could fall out of it, but that's what you wanted, and therefore, you're going to be chayav. The Chacham disagree. Say, no, achorov, when it's behind you, and it's boluli achorov, so that's exactly what you wanted, but there's no difference over there between carrying it behind you, up or down, it's just carrying it behind you. But here, the Chacham say, when you had the fanny pack down, you could have put the fanny pack up. And therefore, there was a normal way to carry the fanny pack, this money belt. But you did it in an abnormal way, kalachar yad, and that's why you're potter. That's the machlokus between Yehuda and the Chachamim. It's not Leimu Ketanoi that Liachorov, Ubol Liachorov, that they're arguing about. Everybody, in fact, agrees that that would be Chayim. Finally, we go back to the Mishnah. We quote, we said, Be'emes Amru Isha V'chule. We use this terminology of Be'emes Amru. So the Gemara tells us, as I said before, Tana, call Be'emes, whenever it uses this language, call Be'emes Amru, it means halachahi. It either means halach l'mosh misinai, sometimes, or it means that that's the halacha. This is the way the halacha has come down, as accepted to be the halacha. Finally, Yehuda Omer, we quote the Mishnah, it says, Af mekable pitokin. Simple way to understand this, Rashi's preferred way to understand this, is that the sinar that the Tanakhama said, if the woman carries it on the sinar and it twists around from the front to the back to the front, Yechayev. So, Rav Yehuda said, also, this is true for the postal worker that carries it around, the letters are in the front or the back in the front also has the same din as the sinar, and the Tanakhama disagrees. So that's what we say. Tona, the Bryce explains this, Shekein Lavlori Malchus Osinkein, because this is the way the postal workers, these Lavlori Malchus, the ones who would write the letters for the king, they would go and do this. So therefore, this is considered over here a normal occurrence, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and it's exactly like the Sinar in the women. Next Mishnah. Here we have a very important Mishnah in terms of how do you actually carry something to be over it. We'll see what we mean in a second. Mishnah starts. Hamotzi kikro l'shus harabim. If somebody takes something else, again, hamotzi normally means carrying from rishus hayochid into rishus harabim. He does the akira and the anocha. Akira in the rishus hayochid and the anocha in rishus harabim. So he takes out this kikro. Kikro is a loaf of bread. He takes out this loaf of bread from the rishus hayochid in his house to the rishus harabim outside. Chayiv. Is chayiv for carrying. Now, there's obviously no chiddush over here. The chiddush is to set it up for the next statement. So once we've reestablished the facts, now the Mishnah can tell us. However, if two people carry this loaf of bread, hotziu shnayim, two people carry jointly this loaf of bread from the Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim, then pturim, they in fact are going to be potter in this situation. As we will say, this is not going to be an issur d'oraisa. We'll have to explain why not, according to our Tana. The Gemara says, however, if it was a really big item, lo yochel echad lotzio, this was a huge wedding challah or something else, and one person alone could not carry it. You needed both of them to carry it. Lo yochel echad lotzio. If one person couldn't carry it, votziu shnayim, and two people needed to carry it out, it was so big, then the Tanakhama says chayovim. Then both of them are going to be chayiv in this situation because each one did a full-fledged melacha because the melacha wasn't able to be done by itself. However, Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon Poter, based upon Psukim, as we'll see in the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon says, you're not chayev in this situation, and this is daraisa. It's still also midrabanon, you're Poter in this situation, but you're not chayev in this is daraisa. The Gemara will now explain why not. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, read the name of Rav, others say Yamile, Amar Abaye, others say it was Abaye who said this. Other way, others say Yamile, Bimastizatana, others say we learned it in a braisa. What was this? Zeh Yochov, Zeh Yochov. If you have two different people over here, they're carrying something jointly together. Whereas, in this situation, each one was able to carry it on their own. Let's say this loaf of bread. Two guys are jointly carrying out this loaf of bread. Now, each one could easily have picked it up on his own. It was small enough that each one could carry it out by themselves. But, they carried it out together. In this situation, Rav Meir Chayev. We have three opinions over here. Rav Meir says, you're Chayev in this situation. Both of the people are Chayev, even though they each didn't do it by themselves, they did it with somebody else. The fact that somebody assisted them is irrelevant because they each could have done it by themselves. Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, these two Tanoim, Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, poached him in this situation because since they each could have done it by themselves, when somebody else helps them, that knocks it down from being a deraisa to only being a derabban. What about Ze'ena Yochol? Ze'ena Yochol, if it's so big that neither one could carry it out by themselves and they need each other to carry it out, then Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir Mechayvin, each of them says, each of them did a full job, and therefore each of them is chayiv, because they couldn't carry it on their own, and they needed each other, so each of them did the act of carrying. But here, the Rabbi Shimon, poter. Rabbi Shimon still says you're poter in this situation. Again, we'll see it's based upon psukim. Finally, zeh yochol v'zeh'ena yochol. If one of them was able to carry it on his own, and the other one was not able to carry it on his own, in this situation, divrei kol chayiv. Everybody agrees, he is chayiv. The Gemara will explain, who is he? Who is the person that will chayev over here? The one who could carry it on his own, or the one who wasn't able to carry it on his own? We'll see when we get to the Gemara. That's the braisa that we bring down, or the statement of Yehuda Marav, or the statement of Abayu, whichever one it was. Now, the Gemara says, Tani Nami Yochel, we have a braisa in support of this, either a braisa in support of this first braisa, or if it was really Amoraic statements, or Yehuda Marav, or Abaye, so we have a Tana, a braisa, that says, in accord with what these Amoraim said. Now, what is this braisa? Tani Nami Yochel. Hamotzi kikro l'shus harabim. Somebody carries out a loaf of bread from his rishus hayochid into rishus harabim. Chayiv. Again, like our Mishnah. That's just laying down the facts to get it started. Everybody agrees you're chayiv in that situation. However, hotziu shnayim. The braisa tells us if two people took out this loaf of bread together and each of them was able to carry it on their own, so therefore it was unnecessary for both people to carry it, so then Rav Meir m'chayiv. Rav Meir l'shitaso says you're chayiv, just like he said in the first braisa, according to the one that was Rav Meir, who was saying in the braisa, according to the third opinion, says Amilam Masnesatan was in the braisa. So Rav Meir said there, and Rav Meir says here that you're chayiv. Why? Because each of them did an act. The fact that they could have done it on their own is irrelevant. He says they each did an act of carrying, so they're chayiv. Rav Yehuda Omer, in this braisa, it's just Rav Yehuda. We don't have Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rav Yehuda Omer, in lo yochol echad lohotzio, if neither of these two people was strong enough to carry it out by themselves, each of them, both of them, were not able to carry it out by themselves, and they took it out jointly together. Then, in this situation, chayavim, Rabbi Yehuda says they would be chayav. But if not, v'imlav, so then, p'turim, if each of them could have actually carried it out on their own, and they jointly took it out together, then he would say that they're potur, because they didn't really need the other one. The other one helped, so that knocks it down from deraisa to rabbanu. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon poter. Rabbi Shimon says even in this situation they would be poter, despite the fact that each one could not carry it by themselves. If they jointly carry it together, as we'll see, based upon psukim, they're still going to be poter. Now, minohani mili. How do we get all of these three shitos? So Gemara says it's all based upon the pasuk. The Tana Rabbanan. The Braisa tells us it's based upon the following pasuk. The pasuk in Vayikra. The Tana Rabbanan. We learned in the Braisa, the pasuk tells us, v'im nefesh achas techeto bishkoga. If one person, one soul, goes and sins by accident, me'am aretz, from the people, basosa, he did this over here, achas mitzvah Hashem asher lo se'asena. He did one of the things that Hashem said he shouldn't be doing, but he did it unintentionally. So how do we dash in this pasuk? We'll have three different ways to dash in this pasuk. So the first way is basosa, we dash in over here, ha'oses kula. He has to do the entire action himself. Below ha'oses mitzvah, but not somebody who did only part of the action. Ketzad, what does this mean? For example, shnayim shiu ochazim bimalgez vilogzin. Two people holding on to this malgez. On the side it says, it's mazleg, it means a fork. The order of the letters can sometimes be switched around. It says, sometimes the letters are switched around. He says, well, keves and kesed, they mean the same thing. He brings it down for the mosav orach. So you have over here, two people are using this fork. It's a pitchfork, Rashi says, and they're reapportioning over here the item. Me'asvin hashibolim. They're rearranging them. They're stacking them in a different way, using this pitchfork of some sort. Or alternatively, they're talking about a weaver that has his karkar bishoftin. He's taking this karkar, which is something used in the weaving process over here, to arrange the different types of threads in the loom. So he's doing this action. Or, bekolmus, a person has a pen, bekosin, and they're writing together. Now, all of these are two people doing this. Normally, these actions are done by one person. He'd be chayiv for doing these avodas. But here, we're talking about two people jointly doing the pitchfork, or doing this weaving step, or taking a pen and writing jointly together, or bekana votzilus shusarabim, or they're both holding on to a kana, which is something that easily, it's a reed, they can each take out by themselves, but they're doing it together. So yachol yuchayavim, I might have thought that they each did an act, and they should be chayav. Talmud lomar, therefore we have the drasha, we have the pasuk, baso sa, if you did the entire act, yuchayav, ho says kula, below ho says mikzasa, but not somebody who only did part of the act. So according to this opinion, even though each person could have done it on their own, the fact that they're assisting each other means that they're not doing the entire act, basosa, that would be the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, that says you're potter, even though each could have done it by themselves. We go to the Yomun Aleph, Tzadikim Yomun Aleph. If you're taking something that's very big, the eagle shall dvela, Rashi says, eagle of Akora Gedolim, this eagle of dvela, this cake over here of the figs, or a large beam, which we'll have in a moment in the Gemara, the Ein Echad Yocholotzia, Rashi says, it's too big for one person to carry out. So if you're carrying this eagle shel devela, or and you're taking Votzil Rosh Hashanah, you're taking the Shusha Yach and the Shusha Rabin, and you need two people to carry it. Or Bekora, you're taking over here this big board, Votzil Rosh Hashanah, and these two people are taking out the Shusha Rabin. So in this situation, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im lo yochel echad lotzio, if it not able to be carried, one person couldn't carry this eagle shel devela or this Korah, so then lo yochel echad lotzio, if one person alone couldn't do it, Votzil Shnayim, and it required two people to do it, then chayavim, because they couldn't do it on their own. So the other one's not really assisting you. You're doing your full share of the work. He's doing his full share of the work. And therefore, you're chayav. But in lav, but each of them could have actually carried it out on their own, and they assisted each other, then you didn't do the full share of the work, turim. You would be potter. Again, Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon Omer, even in a situation where one person on his own couldn't do it, it's too heavy. If two people did it, votziu shnayim, nevertheless, paturim. Why? Again, the same word. The only way you can be chayav is if you're doing it entirely by yourself. As soon as you have somebody assisting you, it's not going to make you chayav. So Gemara says, yochid sha'aso chayav. Shnayim shaso paturim. Rabbi Shimon holds that only when one person does it is he chayav. But if two people have to do it, even though he couldn't have done it without two people, nevertheless, you're potter. Now, what are they arguing about? What exactly is the machlokas over here? They're arguing on this pasuk, Bahai Kra. The pasuk tells us over here, V'yem nefesh achas techet o bishkoga, me'yam o'aretz ba'asosa. That's the whole pasuk, and that's what they're arguing about. But we'll have to wait till tomorrow's shir, Mitzvah Hashem, to understand this machlokas, how Rabbi Shimon understood the pasuk, and how Rabbi Yehuda understood the pasuk, and what's the difference between the two shittos. Again, we learned today Shir Lila Nishmas, today's yard site, Morris Applebaum, Yaakov Moshe, Ben Harav, Menachem Tzvi, and also Lila Nishmas, Margaret Stern, Miriam Bas Yisrael, Alan Stern's mother, whose yard site was yesterday. Mitzvah Shem, all the neshamas we learned for should have an aliyah. Have a great day.